Glad to see all those that made it back be here with us this evening. As we did this morning, kind of kicked off a sermon series, if you will. For our remaining time here over the next couple of months, about 2.5 months, what we're going to do on Sunday nights is we're going to talk about lessons in lyrics. I appreciate Raphael leading that song for us tonight because I have a point I want to make. If you will, turn back to number 500 in your songbooks. Number 500 in your songbooks. Notice the beginning of the second verse, if you will. Here I raise my Ebenezer. That's the lyrics that we see in the song. Now, how many of us, number one, how many of us cheated before we sang the song and looked down at the bottom of the song to see what, and I hope we all did, because if we didn't, most of us probably did not know what that phrase meant. And as we're going to see in our scriptures tonight, in Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, Psalm 47 and verse 7, and 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, friends, it is extremely important that we understand what we sing as we sing these songs. And so when we sing in number 500, O thou fount of every blessing, when we sing, Here I raise my Ebenezer, friends, I need to know what that means. I need to and we can use some context clues. We can read and sing the rest of the verse, and we can kind of figure out what this means. You look at the next phrase, Hither by thy help I've come. Well, we understand that this is a stone of help. It's a memorial, if you will, to show what God has done for Israel, as we see in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12, where Samuel actually raised the Ebenezer stone. This is what this is a reference to. We have other songs as well. Night with Eben Pinion. Eben Pinion refers to a big black bird. But that poetic license. And so sometimes we need to study our Bibles, but friends, this is a part of our worship. Our songbooks, and sometimes maybe we need to talk to the elders at times. Can I take one of these home? Can I study a couple of these songs so that next time we come together and we sing a song such as, Oh, thou fount of every blessing, I have a better understanding of what it is that I'm singing. Now let's get to our lesson for the evening. The title, of course, as we're going to jump into different songs each week, we're not going to do that tonight other than what we've already done, but our title as we go into this, our introductory lesson, if you will, is Lessons in Lyrics. And so I want us to discuss some things tonight, three things in particular. Number one, singing as God has prescribed. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And of course, you already know where we're going. We're going to verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. First of all, let's look at the last phrase of chapter 5 and verse 18, because this leads right into verse 19. The last part of verse 18 says, But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So friends, what we need to understand as we look at the religious world around us today, and this church, as they want to call themselves, over here has a piano up front maybe, or maybe they have an entire rock band on stage, or maybe even they have a choir up front so that they can sing to the congregation rather than the congregation sing themselves. You look at all this religious confusion around us, friends, our interest is to be what? What does God say on the matter? Where does God call for my music, for the music of the church to come from? Well, listen to verse 19 again. Speaking, all right, so number one, what do we see that we are to do? We are to use our mouths, right, our vocal cords. We are to speak to one another, all right, so we're talking about conversing, aren't we? We're going, this is kind of a give and take, isn't it? Raphael was up here leading us in the song. He's projecting out toward us. We're projecting toward him. And not only that, but we can hear one another. Of course, as in our configuration, we can hear those behind us better than we can those in front. But we have, we actually, friends, if you haven't noticed, we have a wonderful building for singing. The acoustics in this auditorium are rather nice. And so the sound quality in here is really good. And so we have this ability to speak to ourselves, to one another. And notice how we are to speak, in what way we are to speak, in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. And so God tells us how or what we are to use as we speak to ourselves in this matter. Now, the next part, if we're talking about singing as God has prescribed, I want you to notice this. All right, number one, singing. All right, we've already been told to speak. How are we to speak? We sing. That's the idea. Singing and making melody. All right, the word there is psallo, P-S-A-L-L-O. It literally means to pluck. How many of you ever in biology class dissected a heart? Doesn't matter what kind of heart it was. If you notice, if you cut a heart right down the middle, I mean, you look at it, what do you notice? Looks like strings, doesn't it? Friends, it's no coincidence that God puts it like He does right here. Singing and making melody where? In the heart. Does Ephesians 5 and verse 19, does Paul ever mention to the Ephesian brethren that they are to play? No. It's never found there. Turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. This expounds a little bit more upon what Paul's already written to the Ephesian brethren. He writes to Colossae, in Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We have that same phrase, don't we? Well, first we were to speak to one another. We were to sing to one another. He says to the Colossians, teaching one another, and we are to admonish one another in these same ways, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And then he says that word singing again, with grace. Again, where is this to be taking place? In the heart. Grace in your heart. Hearts to the Lord. Friends, if we are to sing as God prescribed, then we need to do it exactly. When's the last time a guitar taught you anything? If we had one right up here and we sat it on this bench right here, could it preach to you a sermon? Could it sing you a song all by itself? Could this inanimate object, could it teach you anything? Not a thing. What about a piano? An organ? Or any of those things? Friends, what we understand here is that God doesn't say play. He says sing. He says teach. He says admonish. He says speak. What do all of those things involve? Doesn't involve these. It involves this. My mouth. My voice. Turn with me to Psalm 47. Psalm 47. I think it's fitting that one of our passages tonight comes from the Psalms. You know, I have forgotten this from time to time. I'll get bogged down, if you will. I don't know if you really get bogged down in Bible study, but I get blinded, if you will, to certain things, and I'll get bogged down in it, and I'll forget what the Psalms actually are. They're songs. Many of them written by David. Solomon wrote a few. There were some that were written by Asaph and some others, but they're a compilation of songs. That's what they are. And if you've never heard Gregorian chant, I encourage you maybe to get on YouTube or Google it tonight and listen to a little bit of Gregorian chant. A lot of these songs, or psalms here, were sung in that fashion. Now, as you read Psalm 47 and verse 7, what does the psalmist say? For God is the King of all the earth. Now, the last phrase is, sing praises with understanding. So even the psalmist, way back in the time of David and Solomon and all of those, this is actually a psalm of the sons of Korah, as our Bible has the heading there. So what we have here is a part of the priesthood. That's what Korah was within that priestly tribe of the Levites. They have this song here, and they say, as we sing, to do what? With understanding. We need to understand what it is that we sing. Now let's go back to the New Testament. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. You see, Paul echoes that sentiment in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. Now Paul is, if you study the book of 1 Corinthians, starting in chapter 11, really? Chapter 11, 12, 13, and 14, Paul is dealing with spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians. And the Corinthians, it seems, were hung up on using tongues. And so, within the context right here, Paul is not necessarily talking about singing of itself, but he uses it as an example. And we also find here what Paul is talking about, and it kind of fits into our lesson here. In verse 15, he says, what is the conclusion then? He's bringing all this on spiritual gifts to a conclusion. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. You see, the problem in Corinth was, they would be in the middle of worship service like this, and then someone back here in this corner would stand up and just start speaking in tongues, and no one in the audience would have the gift of interpretation. Paul says, what good is it? If you start speaking in some foreign language and nobody here understands that language and nobody here can translate from what you're speaking to what everybody else can understand, there's no use. And so he says, I don't pray unless I can understand what I'm praying about and what I'm praying for. Okay, let's continue. I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. What's Paul tell me? I need to understand what it is that I sing, because if I don't understand it, how can I teach it to someone else? Is it that what we're supposed to be doing in our psalms? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Friends, we need to be singing as God has prescribed. Number two, we have a responsibility. If we are to be teaching one another, if we are to be admonishing one another, we have a responsibility to learn from the song, don't we? Friends, we cannot just absent-mindedly sing a song, and I'm as guilty of it as anyone else. We'll get sidetracked, especially having a couple of kids, and I know it's hard for moms to sit in the pew when they're dealing with kids and even listen to a sermon or to sing a song. But friends, if we're going to be singing, our heart needs to be in it, and we need to understand what it is that I can't just go through the motions absent-mindedly. We cannot just absentmindedly sing a song and praise to God and still think we're in compliance with the prescription that God has given for our singing. We must sing with the understanding. Friends, what that means is that we must pay attention to what it is that we're singing. Maybe you've been driving down the highway, and I've done this from time to time. I'll be driving down the highway, and it'll be a song that maybe I've heard 100 times, I'll even start singing and then I get to thinking, what am I listening to? What am I singing? And I've even been mouthing the words, and I'm just doing so absentmindedly, not really realizing what it is that I'm doing. And friends, we're guilty of that sometimes in our worship. That's why it's so important that as we come together, that we remember this, that when we worship our God, we're sitting before His throne. We've talked about this before. That as we come together in worship, as Raphael was leading us in song tonight, as we were led in prayer a few moments ago, as I'm standing here before you, we are physically located at 901 North Main Street in San Angelo, Texas, 76903. But spiritually, friends, we're sitting in heaven before the very throne of God. And He is hearing the praise of our lips. He's hearing our petitions go before Him. And He is in fellowship with us even now. If we will remember that one thing, if we will keep that in mind, that we are in the very throne room of God, then maybe our mind won't wander so much. And we can keep our focus and pay attention to what it is that we're singing. Number three, we are to learn from the song. We need to apply what it is that's learned from the songs that we sing. You know, there are some songs, as a young man that raised in the church, as we sometimes put it, there are some songs that I don't feel that I can rightfully sing. There's one, I can't remember the title of the song just off the top of my head, but friends, I don't feel comfortable singing the first verse of the song when it says, "Years I spent in vanity and pride." I didn't. I obeyed the gospel at a young age. When I realized that I was lost, that I needed the blood of Christ for my salvation, that's what I did. I was baptized at 4 o'clock in the morning. Couldn't sleep. Didn't sleep a wink that night. Woke my mom and dad up. We had to go to the church building that night. Thankfully, that was the night of Lindell's annual all-night singing, and there were still folks at the building. And I was immersed in water that night to have my sins washed away. But friends, I can't myself, in good conscience, sing that. Being raised in the church, I didn't spend years in vanity and pride. Those words don't apply to me. Now others, they might. There are others here, even among us today, that didn't obey the gospel maybe into their 20s, 30s, maybe 40s, 50s. And that song wholeheartedly applies. Until we came to the realization, until you came to the realization that you were lost. And there are other songs like that that may, now the rest of that song, if I remember correctly, wholeheartedly applies to me. Just not the first phrase of that first verse. But you get what I'm saying. I need to take these songs as we sing them together, pay attention to them, and then take those lessons that are learned and apply them, just like any other lesson. You know, we often pray at the close of a service, let us take the things that we've learned today and apply them to our lives. Wonderful. Sentiment, wonderful statement. But friends, Let's go back to the Psalms for a minute. Let me show you what I'm talking about here. Let's go to Psalm 1. Let's go to the very first one, Psalm 1. Listen to the song here. These six verses in the very first Psalm. Listen and pick up, if you will, on the lessons as we read the lyrics of this Psalm. Because remember, that's what these are. These are lyrics. These are song lyrics. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. What's the lesson learned in verse 1? There's lessons learned really in all these verses and choruses, aren't there? Blessed, okay, happy is he. Why is he happy? Because he's on God's side, right? Who walks not. Notice the progression of sin. If we walk in the counsel of the ungodly, it's not going to be long before we're standing in the path of sinners, and then not much longer past that, we're going to be sitting in the seats of the scornful. There's a lesson to be learned there, isn't it? What path do I need to stay on? The godly path. Verse 2, but his delight, that is, the righteous man, the man who is happy, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. What is that? What lesson do I learn from verse 2 concerning the law of God? It needs to be upon my mind constantly. Upon his law doth he meditate day and night. It is something that is never far from my mind. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What do we know by studying biology and other sciences concerning, what do we know about trees that have plenty of water? They're strong. It's going to be hard, even when a storm blows up, it's going to be hard for that storm to knock that tree over, isn't it? That brings forth its fruit in its season. If a tree is planted near a river, it's never going to have a lack or a shortage of water. So even in the dry seasons, what happens? It still bears fruit. whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Verse 4, the ungodly. So here's a contrast. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. When you in old times, when they would harvest the wheat, they would take the wheat and they would beat it, and the chaff, which was lighter than the grain, it would float away. The grain would fall to the ground. And so you have what they called a threshing floor. They would thresh the wheat. Verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. Now what does that mean exactly? The ungodly shall not stand in judgment. Friends, one that is ungodly is not going to be able to stand before the Almighty God. He will be on his knees begging for mercy. That's what the psalmist here is talking about. That's a lesson to be learned. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, what's the end of it? Proverbs 14 and verse 15, it's death. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Several lessons, friends, that we can learn from there. And perhaps everybody's favorite psalm, if you'll be turning with me to Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm. Again, just 6 verses, but full of lessons. And again, remember, these are song lyrics. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Friends, have you ever done a study on shepherding and made a contrast between Eastern shepherds and Western shepherds? The Bible, when it speaks of a shepherd, is always talking about an Eastern style of shepherd. In Eastern Europe and Asia Minor, where shepherding and herding was a big deal, was a big thing, what you find shepherds doing is leading their sheep. They would walk out front of their sheep and they would lead them from pasture to pasture, from watering hole to watering hole. They never drove them. They didn't have any use for dogs. That's why when you read in the Bible and you read of a dog, it's always in a negative light. Now we love our pets, I understand, but they didn't think anything about a dog. They didn't like them. They didn't have a use for them. And so when you see a shepherd in the Bible, I want you to have this picture of a shepherd out in front of his sheep. He's never behind them. He's never to the side. He's never really even in their midst. He's leading them, showing them the way. That's a picture of Jesus, isn't it? That's the picture the psalmist wants to give us here. The Lord is my shepherd. He's leading the way for me. He's showing me how to go. On the other hand, in the West United States and other places in Western Europe where you have shepherds, a lot of times you see them using dogs that will nip at the heels of the sheep and they drive them where they want them to go. Now, it's not to say necessarily that one is better than the other, but it is as far as our picture is concerned, because which one do you suppose cares more for his sheep that is able to call them by name? We continue to read. By the way, I shall not want. There will be no need, in other words. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, have plenty to eat. He leads me. See, there's that picture again, isn't it? He leads me by the still waters. Why still waters? If we're going to understand what it is that we're singing, right? We need to understand what's taking place here. A shepherd, a sheep. Sheep are scared of running water. And so this is significant. My shepherd, this one, he's not going to lead me in a place that I need to be scared. That I need to be afraid. He's going to lead me by the still waters. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He refreshes me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Friends, that was a literal place in Judea. It was a valley, and it had a very narrow path that went through it, and it had deep ravines on either side of this path. And sometimes the shepherds had to lead their sheep through here, and sometimes the sheep would fall into these ravines. That's going to come into play in the next couple of verses. Look at this. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Look at this. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod and the staff, friends, they're one and the same thing. One end is sharp. The rod is sharp. That rod end of the staff is sharp to fend off wolves, bears, lions. But then the staff part of it, that I'm comforted by that as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because if I fall in one of those ravines, it has a hook. And he can reach down in that ravine and he can pick me up and put me back on the path. So I have nothing to fear. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You think about that. He makes me lie down in green pastures, but then he prepares his table before me in the presence of my... We have lions and bears and wolves, all these kinds of predators all around us. And still, God prepares a table for me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, hopefully, what we have seen from Psalm 1 and Psalm 23 is that songs have something to teach us. These psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that we sing each time that we get together to worship our God, when we come together on Sunday morning and Sunday night, as we are tonight, and then in our midweek Bible study, when we are together during gospel meetings and we sing praises to our God, friends, let's not forget to learn something. Because there are lessons there to be found. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. And as we sing that invitation song, don't let this lesson be lost. Find the lessons that are there. Understand what it is that you're singing. And friends, if there happens to be one here tonight to whom this song that we're about to sing applies, if you have a need tonight, friend, to obey the gospel, to be saved from your sins, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, why not tonight do just that? Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Repenting of your sin, confessing Him, and being baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Friends, you can be added to His church, you can walk hand in hand with Christ, and you can stand justified before the throne of God. It may be that you're here tonight having done all those things, friend, but you find yourself even now in a lost condition. Because you haven't remained faithful. You haven't stayed true to the Word of God. Friend, we ask tonight that you come home. If you are subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come right now while we stand and while we sing?